Well, this morning's sermon is titled, Which Herd Are You In? You know, we're kind of in herds, so to speak, because I'm preaching from Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31. It's the judgment. And this whole scripture comes at the end of Jesus preaching on his parables. He gave a whole list of parables. If you kind of turn a page back, if you have your Bibles open, we have the parable of the fig tree and the parable will be ready for his coming, and the parable of the 10 virgins, and the parable of the talents. They're all in there. And then we come to verse 31, and Jesus, now, some people think this is a parable, and I really don't see it as that way. It's not really a parable. It's a teaching, but it doesn't follow the same pattern as the parables did. It is a teaching on future judgment. It's a teaching, it's a prophecy of Christ saying, you know, what is going to happen when he comes back again. And I want you to think about this before I read it to you, and we can read it together. This teaching came to us just, well, came to the disciples and the people that were with him just days before he was to be crucified. So from a human standpoint, Jesus was at his lowest point. I mean, he was getting ready to go into that dark place where he was going to be killed. The scribes and the Pharisees had already gotten their traitor and paid him, and he was ready to betray Jesus into their hands. And he knew this was all coming. And yet he gave us this wonderful teaching, this wonderful prophecy to his disciples on what was going to happen in the future. It didn't say near future, but he was looking past the cross. He was looking past the suffering. He was looking past into a future point where he would be glorified and all of mankind would be brought before the judge's bar. He was getting ready to face that. He was going to before the high priest, and they were going to judge him. And they were going to say, you know what? Not right. Not right. We don't want you. In fact, we're going to show you we don't want you. We're going to take you, and we're going to give you to Pilate, and we're going to have the Romans crucify you. And he knew that. He knew all that. So let us go to the scriptures and see what the Lord has given us today. He has richly blessed us with this. And I warn you, it is a hard teaching. It's very stark. There is no leeway in here. This is very important. Okay? And Jesus said, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty, or give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' The king will answer and say to them, 'Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison? Did not take care of you. Then he will answer them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God add a blessing to the reading, listening, and the doing of his holy word. I want you to imagine for yourself this scene that Christ is preaching. It has to be enormous, huge, for the throne must be enormous, and he's sitting on it in glory. Glory! And his angels are all there, round about that throne, and all of mankind is spread out before that throne. All of mankind, from every time, everyone that has ever lived, because that's what it says here. All the nations, all the people. And Christ is sitting on his throne, and I can just imagine the fire in his eyes, the gloriness, the brightness shining from him, and he separates people, because he's looking into their very hearts, into their very being. He knows everything they've ever done in their lives, and they're all standing there. Now, it doesn't say they're naked, but I would assume they are naked. There's nothing, no masks, no clothing, nothing to filter you from those piercing eyes that look into your very soul, and people are moved to the left, to the right. Nations are divided. Cities. All manner of people, men, women, divided as to how they lived their lives. Now, in this particular scripture on judgment, it's not as in-depth as you would find in Revelation. In Revelation, at the great white throne judgment, the books are opened. So Jesus here is giving us sort of an overview, okay? Kind of a quick overview, mostly for his disciples to kind of cheer them up a little bit, because in 3 days, they're going to lose him to the cross. So they know something's going on. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand that he is the Son of Man, and that he will eventually in the future be the judge of everyone. So that's what we have, this huge scene here with all these people being separated one from another. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the separation that is going to occur in, let's have fun with this. Let's really have some fun with this. Okay, and you people out on the internet, we tend to put ourselves in groups, and that's why I named this, which herd are you in? You know, we have other herds that are called the Democratic Party, the Republican Party, that sort of thing. We have herds that people gather in, say, the Kiwanis. All right, there's herds that are called, the Boost Club. Thank you, Bob. There's a herd of young ladies that are, you know, throwing pom-poms in the air and having a great time, which my wife is enjoying going away. Young ladies that are cheerleaders, sort of a herd. It's a group. When you look at sheep come in a herd. And in Palestine, the sheep were mostly white. And then the goats came in a herd. You ever heard of a herd of goats? Yeah, goats. And they were normally black. So in this illustration that Jesus is giving to his disciples, it's very easy to determine which are the sheep, which are the goats. The sheep are black, the goats are white. Okay? Those things are quite easy. So we're in a herd. What herds are you in? Think about it. And when that day comes, when Christ is judging and he's separating, he's going to divide up the herds that we're in. You may be in, say, a herd of a city of Lebanon. All right? We know people and friends that we're with, our neighbors. There's going to be a division. There's going to be a division. How about in neighborhoods? There's going to be a division. How about families? I want you to think about this, families. There's going to be a judgment on everyone. No one will be exempt. You will not have a get-out-of-free-jail card, okay, because you're a member of a certain family, whether it be my family or your family or Pastor Rich's family. You're going to be judged on your own recognizance, everything that you did, your heart. What was the heart in you? Now, here, the standard of judgment is charity. Jesus said, you know, did you feed me? Did you give me a drink? Did you look after me? And the people that actually did that on the right said, well, Lord, when did we do that? I don't remember seeing you. I can see what you look like right now, and I know those features and the beard, mustache, the glory. I never saw that when I was out amongst my inhabitants of the earth. I didn't see that. And Jesus says, well, you did it to the least of my brethren. Now, some commentators say that, well, that kind of, his brethren were the Jews. So this is kind of teaching on how we take care of the Jewish nation. But there's also scripture that says that when you become a Christian, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a brother to him. So, if we look at the very broadest sense of it, were we charitable to those around us? How charitable are you? These are the questions you need to ask yourself. You don't have to answer me, but you will give an answer to the judge. Jesus Christ is going to sit on his throne. He's going to ask each and every one of us. Did you show true love and charity to your fellow man, to your fellow women, to the people around you? See, the Lord knows the inclinations of your heart. The Lord knows why you do each and every little thing you do. Each action in your life, he knows why. He looks deep down into that soul, that very being, that little person that's inside of you, okay? And you talk to him occasionally, or her, whichever one, down there deep. And he knows why you've done each and everything. And right now, this is going to be a future time, this throne of glory, but right now, Jesus is sitting on the throne of grace by his Father. He's sitting on the throne of grace. So we can come to him at that throne now. He's on a throne. And we can come to him and say, Lord Jesus, we need help. Lord Jesus, I have fallen down and made a terrible mistake. Lord Jesus, help me. And he is there to help us. It's the throne of intercession. He says to his Father, and I'm going to pick on Brother Bob because he's easy. Brother Bob needs help. Send angels to help him in what he's doing. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? How often do we go to that throne of grace now? But there's coming a time when the throne of glory will be brought. And there'll be no help there because it is a throne of judgment. It is a throne of judgment of our lives. And then you're asking me, you're probably thinking, well, pastor, or I should say preacher, I'm not a pastor yet, student minister, okay, I don't want to get ahead of myself. This sounds like a works righteousness thing, doesn't it? Sounds like a works righteousness. We have to work towards this, don't we? No. It's not a works righteousness sort of thing. For if you find in Ephesians, it says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, for those who would like to look it up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. And you'll probably remember it when I read it to you. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. The people on the right hand who gave charity, who showed love, did it because God had prepared those things for them to do. They didn't do it because they were looking for accolades. They did them because they loved to love other people. And you may ask me, well, how can we do that? Well, being a member of this church, giving tithes and offering, and I'm not talking about money per se, but we get to have a hand in that, in the missionary work that we do. You all have your hand in feeding someone, giving them a drink of water, clothing them, visiting them in prison. You might not be doing it physically, although God may call you to do that at some time, but because you are actively participating in a congregation who is doing that, you are part of that good work. You know, you might not be able to visit someone in prison. There's very strict rules on how you get into prison to visit someone because of all the stuff that has happened through the years, things being snuck into prisoners and stuff, and they're there for a reason. They broke the law. But I want you to think about how often we have broken the law of love. We have broken that law. So we should endeavor to think about other people as Christ. Because he says, when you did it to the least of my brethren, when you did it to the least person, you did it to me. Isn't it amazing that Jesus, who's in heaven, sitting on his throne, the throne of grace, still identifies with the most lowly person here on this earth? He identifies with each and every one of us. He's there when you're hurting. How often have we had somebody in our congregation and we pray for them, but someone in our congregation who is hurting? How often have you been Christ to them when they've had real problems? We're to love each other. So in the end, Christ says to those on his right, which is the place of honor, the left side of the throne is the place of dishonor. But those on the right, he says, come to me. I love you. You have loved me. Come to me. We're going to be together forever. Inherit the kingdom that my Father has prepared for you since the foundation of the world. He's had roughly, I don't believe in evolution, I believe in biblical creation, so we'll say anyway from 12 to 10,000 years working on putting together a place for us. Can you imagine what your house would look like if the builder had unlimited funds and he had 12,000 years to put it together? Can you imagine that? How beautiful that would look? I bet you the bathroom alone would be magnificent. Yeah. The living room, the sunroom, the garden. Oh, with the flowers and the trees. Jesus says to them, come, come to me. Come and embrace me. Come and be with me forever. Can you imagine that? Can you think about that? You're going to be in the arms of Jesus forever. You're going to be with him. He's going to talk to you. Can you imagine Jesus singing a song to you? A love song. Eva, Jesus singing a love song to you. Oh, Eva, I love you. I've loved you your whole life. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it gives me goosebumps. I think, oh my goodness, I'm going to be with God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit forever. It's never going to end. And there's going to be no pain, no suffering, no sickness. You know, no getting up in the morning going, oh man, that hip isn't working right today. I just have to keep walking and swing that leg a little more so that it gets working again. That's going to all go away. We're not going to have any gray hair. It's all going to be gone. The wrinkles will be gone. Can you imagine that? All the wrinkles are gone. You're going to look. Do everybody remember when you were about 33? Now, some of you are not quite 33 yet, but those of us that are older than 33, do you remember what you looked like when you were 33? You're going to look like that again forever. With no makeup, no base, okay, no eyeshadows, no eyelash stuff. Us men, no beard oil, you know, no stuff to, you know, no deodorant, not going to need it. It's going to be perfection. I want you to think of that, because the flip side of the coin is those that are on the left. And what does he say to them? And the words are full of terror. I want you to feel the terror in your heart. Depart from me, ye accursed, into eternal damnation, prepared for the devil and his angels. Be away from me. I don't ever want to see you again. In life, you denied me. In life, I wooed you. I called to you. I wanted to love you. And you said, nope, nope. No, I don't want Jesus. Sorry. Don't believe in him. Don't like him. Don't want him. Now, can you imagine the terror that grips their hearts? Because this is the judgment, and everybody is there, and those on the left are being driven away. Depart from me. Go. Be gone. No love, no tenderness, no forgiveness. Completely and utterly cast out. Can you imagine the terror that's going to grip their hearts when they realize they have made the fatal mistake? The fatal, eternal mistake. There's no coming back from it. There's no forgiveness from it. The Son of the living God has said to them, depart, be gone, go away to a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. I can't wrap my mind around that. I can't quite get to the point where I don't feel love. I know you guys love me, and I love you, and I can feel that. I can feel that. Can you imagine not feeling that? Can you imagine being in a place so totally dark, so totally devoid of everything that you can't even feel love? I mean, most people love themselves, generally speaking, most people. Can you imagine being in a place where you don't even love yourself because you were so selfish and stupid that you cast off Christ? that now you even hate yourself because you can see before you an eternity of pain and suffering, an eternity of being alone, completely away from anything that even resembles tenderness and love. We need to really, really think about those people. We have this mindset in this church, of simple church, love God, love others, and go. We need to really be about that. We need to really be about that. There's people that you know are going to end up in hell. They're going to end up on that left side. Cast off. We need to double our efforts to try and reach them. And I don't mean get the Bible and go over and start beating them on the head with the Bible. That never works. It doesn't work. Ask my son about arithmetic in high school. They're beating him on the head with a math book. He's fighting them every step of the way. Okay? Doesn't work. If I come to you with something and I beat you on the head with it, you're just going to get mad at me and say, well, I'm not listening to him. But when you come to someone with love, true love, and you touch them, give me your hand, there he goes, see, you touch them, and you feel the warmth, okay, and you tell them, Jesus loves them. And you show it by giving them water, food, clothing, visiting them when they're sick, being there for them when life just punches them down and they have no place else to turn because they don't know God. They don't know God. And you show up and you tell them, I can help you. And you pray for them. You get such a surprise out of them. I've done that already. I've been out in the public somewhere and someone will, you know, tell me something and, oh, woe is me. This is terrible. And, you know, they're upset. And I say to them, I can't help you. I don't have the power, but I know who does. Let's pray. And all of a sudden, they look at you like, is this guy out of his mind? Don't stop. Don't stop. The door's open. Pray for them. Pray for them. Because the Holy Spirit working through you may reach into their hearts. This teaching here, what Christ has given us, is so profound and so stark and so sharp. That judgment is coming. And no one can escape it. Not any of us. Not even the angels. They're going to be there. It doesn't say a couple. It says all the angels of heaven. Heaven's emptied out into this area where there's a throne and probably a bunch of steps up to the throne and the angels round about and all of mankind. How many people are on the planet right now? Who do we know? Do we have an idea? Yes. How much? 7.6 billion with a B, right? Billion? Billion. 7.6 billion people. Let's take 7.6 billion people and put them in a field somewhere. Can you imagine that? That's just today. Can you imagine all the people that have ever lived? All of them. Every single human being. I want you to think of all the children that have been aborted. They're going to be there. All the people that have been killed throughout the wars of this world, everywhere, every single human being is going to be there. It staggers the mind. This area, it has to be enormous. And the glory of Christ is going to shine out over every single person. I mean, think about it. All the people that have ever lived, if I were to guess, I would say we're going to have, say, an auditorium type thing set up that's going to be 100 miles square. And all the people are going to be standing in there. and Christ is going to separate them. And once that separation occurs, it is final. It is done. It is over. No more time to witness. No more time to give water, to give food, to give clothing. It is done. It is a final thing. I don't see this as a parable, but a final warning of judgment to come. The disciples and us may go through harrowing times here, but Christ will judge and make all the injustices right. Everything that has ever happened to you that went wrong, when someone has called you a name, been mean to you, done something to you, stolen from you, maybe hit you, punched you, been mean to you, it's all going to be made right. It will all be made right. But I want you to think of those poor lost souls. The ones that said no to Christ. The one that said no to charity, to kindness. They are cast off. Is there someone in your life today that you would want to talk to, so that they don't end up on the left-hand side, but are ushered into the right-hand side, where Christ says, come to me forever. Let us pray. Father in heaven, how wonderful you have been to give us your word. To allow it to be written in a book that we can pick up and we can read it, we can study it, we can be uplifted by it, we can be taken to a place where we can try to understand the amount of love that you've given us. So, Father, I ask that you look over each and every one of us, watch over us. Help us, and help us to love each other, to be there when we need each other, because that's what a congregation is about. It's a family. We are all family members in Christ right here at the Heart of Christ Church. And we are all family members with the Church Universal. All you people out on the internet who look at these sermons and wonder, my goodness, the Heart of Christ Church. God has put us here. Give him the glory. May we always, always be open to giving water, food, comfort, clothing, and visiting when the need arises. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.